The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to My Two Cents. My name is Marianne Stanley, and I invite you to look at some of today's most pressing issues through an entirely different lens than that used by the corporate-owned media. Our focus will be on old-time journalism. In other words, on getting to the truth by referencing facts and sources. Stay tuned and see if you've had a hunger that nothing else could satisfy. Until now, that is. How did we ever get so mean? The United States has the Statue of Liberty standing there at Ellis Island at the entry point to New York and the shores of the United States saying, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Give these, the homeless tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." We're not a door anymore. We've got our rifle pointed at other people. We have become unempathetic, uncaring, unloving, unwelcoming. What has happened and how has this happened? When did it happen? Who has caused it to happen? And why have we bought into the rhetoric about making, quote, the other, unquote, our enemy? Everyone else has the same human needs that we have. They have the same human requirements that we have. The desires that we have. If we've been so blessed that we have enough to eat, that we have a job, that we have a family, a home, a roof over our heads, comfort, why should we expect other people to not want the same for themselves? They are us. We are them. We have become so nasty to other people. If you just read the comments posted at the end of news articles, it's full of hate-mongering, name-calling, put-downs. It's so ugly and so disheartening to read it all. Who has made this okay? Why do we demonize people that are not us, but who are like us? Have we given it much thought at all about what we're creating as far as the atmosphere of an entire country? We've made intolerance okay. We've made name-calling okay. And that's not who we used to be. We used to believe in opportunity. We used to believe in our fellow man. We have a spotty history, obviously, in some ways, as far as our treatment of people that we actually kidnapped and brought over here from Africa. And we still have to fight that propensity to be biased, to be prejudiced, to be racist. And we have amends to make for that. And for our treatment of the Native Americans who were here first. So we have a spotty history, but at the same time, we're devolving instead of evolving at this point in time. We're looking at other people and finding ways to make them less human, to make them less real and less worthy than we are. And that's the big problem. Why do we assume that the people who aren't working because they just don't want to work and they're lazy? Why do we assume that the people who have lost their homes, who have had to go through foreclosure, were irresponsible and did things they shouldn't have done, reached beyond their means, and deserve to have lost their homes? The only way we can believe that is to buy into what the pundits are telling us. We certainly can't get to that point by actually doing the research to find out what happened, when did all of this begin, and what caused it in the first place. The banks were doing predatory lending. People were buying homes they could afford at the time. But they had jobs. All the jobs were here, for the most part, in this country. We began to outsource, and with losing all the jobs because the people who were the key people in the biggest corporations saw an opportunity to fatten their bottom lines while absolutely bottoming out the middle class, that isn't the fault of the middle class. That's not the fault of the people who were working good jobs. Those good jobs were taken away. And magically and amazingly, the far right and the moneyed interests have been able to convince us that those people deserve to lose their jobs, that it's only normal to allow the free market to function and that will be best for democracy, when that is anything but the truth. The free market without regulation is going to create the vastest gap possible between the rich and the poor. And when you have a big old gap like that, you're setting up for a civil war. You're setting up for a revolution. Is that what we want here? Think about the days. If you didn't live then, read about the days in the 50s and the 60s when jobs were plentiful. It was after the Depression that the federal government spent money to create jobs through the Civilian Conservation Corps, giving people who were out of work at the worst unemployment time in American history, and 1929, 1931, to create jobs for them so that they could feed their families, so that they could have a home, so that they could take care of themselves. That's all anyone wants. Why do we think that that's more than people deserve? If there were no poverty in this country, there would be little crime in this country. If we had regulations that kept people from destroying other people just because of their greed, we wouldn't have the problems we're seeing now. You have to give people an opportunity to survive, or they'll find a way to survive. If you were actually starving, would you take that apple, or would you just sit down and stoically starve to death? If your children, or your spouse, or your family member, your parent, your child, were starving, would you rob a bank to save them if there were no jobs and you had tried everything you could think of and you didn't have what you needed? Desperate times call for desperate measures. We've heard that before. These are desperate times for millions of people in this country. When we have 50 million people without any health insurance who are going to die for a treatable condition, and most of us turn our heads the other way and say, oh, well, it's not us, we've got a serious problem here. We've been talked into being less than we can be and less than we were born to be. We're being talked into being callous and cruel, mean and cold. How did we let ourselves get talked into that? Americans used to be the most generous, the most giving, the warmest people on earth. We heard it over and over again. You guys are the first to come in to help us during a catastrophe. You are the first to rescue us. You are the first to accept us in your country. Not anymore. And we're seeing this intolerance, this hatred, this bigotry, this nastiness directed at the least of our brethren. And for those who are so into religion, and many Americans are, to the point that they quote it in order to justify their beliefs, they need to look at that. They need to look then at what the Bible says about loving each other, and love being the greatest commandment. Intolerance does not equate with love. Judgment, hatred, does not equate with love. Whether a person is gay or not is not our problem. That is not something we need to involve ourselves in. That's a moral issue. That's between a person and God. Whether a person wants to get an abortion or use contraception, that is not our issue. That is not our right to judge. We need to allow that person to work that out between themselves and God. Moral issues are not supposed to be put into a government-level law. All the voices of the economists that say, you can't save this country that way. The only way you're going to get the United States back on its feet economically is to have the federal government spend money to create jobs. And there are a million ways they can do it. We need to be creating jobs to create a greener earth at a time when climate change is finally becoming apparent to even a person who never reads, even the people who have been taught to not believe it, to call them bunny huggers or tree huggers, and to disparage them. Even those people are beginning to see that it wasn't hokum, it is a fact, and that all of our lives are in peril if we don't wake up and do something. So how can we get out of this mess we've got of unemployment? How can we get out of this mess we've got of being so hateful to each other Let the government be what it's supposed to be. Government can do some things better than the private sector. You couldn't count on the private sector, for instance, to put interstate highways across here, the entire United States, so that we can get from point A to point B. That would never work. We cannot have life or liberty or pursue happiness if we have no income. Poverty is no joke. It hurts. And it's killing our kids. It's killing, thus, the future of this country. If kids go to bed hungry at night, and millions of them do in this country every night, and we turn our backs on that, we are dooming our country. We are ensuring that it will turn into a pile of ashes. We need to ensure that people have enough to eat, that they have access to a job, that they have medical care, that they are able then to pursue a life that suits them, that lets them explore their potentials and give back their greatest gifts to society. People who are hungry or ill, people who are uneducated can't do this. The role of federal government is to come in and to stimulate the economy, to create the jobs then that will allow people to go to work, to make a living, to be productive. You've seen, if you watch TV at all, you have seen the staggering crowds that appear every time a business opens somewhere and they have a job fair or they're taking applications. And yet, so many of us buy into the rhetoric that people don't want jobs. They just want to be on the dole. They're just lazy. And yet, everything our eyes tell us and everything that we hear if we ever talk to people without a job counters that and says, give me a chance, man. Give me a leg up here. I've been supporting my family. I can't support them if no one's hiring me. If the very, very rich are trying to get very, very richer by outsourcing my jobs to China, India, or other countries where they pay slave wages to the people there, thus abusing both the people here in our country and abusing people overseas, our ire and our wrath, our anger should be directed at those folks who show so little regard, so little patriotism, that they abandon Americans and our greatest need, which is to have productive work so that we can have productive lives. That we are so crass and indifferent, and that we judge these people and spit out these phrases as though we understand that these folks are all deadbeats, is just buying into the easy way out. Create jobs. The government needs to spend a lot of money. They were able to spend trillions to rescue the banks who put us into this predicament, right? Then they are able to create jobs by spending trillions to stimulate the economy, and a great way to do that would be to usher in the dawn of a green economy, a green age in the United States, so that we can pull ourselves back from the brink of being obsolete as human life on this planet. Climate change is just beginning to be obvious. You have, and we have, no idea of how severe the weather events are going to get and how they are going to make life unsustainable for human beings. The earth will survive. It will go on. We will not be here. And that should matter to us. Most of us are parents or have younger siblings or have little kids that we see coming along or grandchildren. Are we really going to hand them a planet that is uninhabitable, where people have to live underground, where they won't see the sun, and they won't see grass and trees growing? Is that really what we want? Why are we buying into the propaganda that's out there telling us we don't have anything to worry about? When our senses tell us otherwise, there is no valid scientist who is denying that there is man-caused global warming and that that is going to lead to tragedy and disaster at every turn. Create the green jobs. Put up the windmills. Find other ways to create energy. Put up the solar panels. Eliminate the coal and gas industries. Don't do any fracking that's going to pollute the last fresh water we have on this earth that's running out at a record rate anyway. Fracking, which is freeing up the gases and oil trapped in the shale deep in our ground, has already been shown to cause earthquakes, to cause unfit drinking water and illness among the people and the animals that live on the lands that are being fracked. This is nuts. We have got to wise up. We have got to become more educated. We have got to care more. We can begin by stopping our tirades against each other. We need to reach out with a warm heart to embrace and to seek to understand the pain of our fellow citizens. We need to begin to push government to do what is best for all of us. We all need to be able to work. It isn't an act of choice right now. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to check things out. It's time for us to care. And most of all, it's time for us to act and to speak out on behalf of the rest of us who are hurting right now in these dire times. So that's it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Your feedback is always welcome. Just email us at shout@theflypod.com. Until next time, this has been My Two Cents with Marianne Stanley.